I'd like to welcome everyone to the third and, in a certain sense, final shiur in our series of pre-Shavuos shiurim. I want to thank everybody for joining us. Ask you to please turn off your cell phones, put them on vibrate. Tonight's shiur is being graciously sponsored by Dr. and Mrs. David Levy in honor of Noam's graduation, and also by Robert and Miriam Fagan, Le'ili Nishmas, Elisheva Bas Moshe Ben Yamin, in the merit of the learning that we do, the Nesham Shtav Aliyah. We thank our sponsors for sponsoring the shiur tonight. You know that when Yosef was in jail, so the butler and the baker had dreams. You'll remember the Sar HaMashkim and the Sar HaOfim who had dreams. And the Pasuk says that first the butler, the Sar HaMashkim, had a dream. And he tells over the dream, and Yosef tells the interpretation. And then the Torah says something very fascinating. Vayar Sar HaOfim ki tov pasar. The baker saw that Yosef did a good job of explaining the significance of the butler's dream. So Chazal want to know, what does it mean, Vayar Sar HaOfim ki tov pasar? And there are many explanations. Maybe it means that he gave a positive interpretation, so the baker figured, hey, you know, I'll also give that type of interpretation. But the Rashbam says a very penetrating, very simple, and very, very penetrating comment. He says, Nikarin divrei emes. When a person speaks the truth, the Sar HaMashkim gave a beautiful interpretation that resonated true. It resonated correct with the Sar HaOfim. So he figured Yosef would be a good person to tell over his dream to as well. Nikarin divrei emes. When a person speaks the truth, you can tell. You can tell the truth. As someone who spent many, many years talking to high school kids and sometimes asking them, you know, if they did or didn't do a certain activity. So I can tell you over the years, you learn. Nikarin divrei emes. You can generally, not always, but you can generally tell when a person speaks the truth. And I think one of the, you know, Chazal say also, Chosamo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu emes. The signature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is truth. Moshe emes, the Sorezo emes. Now the truth, I think, in our world is an Olam HaSheker. It's a world that has a lot of things that masquerade as truth. It's not always easy to see. We can't always see the truth, and it's difficult sometimes to see the truth in this world. And we are so blessed and excited that Rav Meir Twersky Shalita has agreed to come share with us a little bit about seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, about Emuna in modern times, something that the truth of the Ribbono Shel, which is something that especially kids in high school, but many people sometimes wrestle with a clear connection, a clear understanding. So many people have difficulty with this, and I think it's such a special schus for us to have Rav Twersky with us, because anyone who knows anything about Rav Twersky, and I, Baruch Hashem, had the tremendous chus to spend over the last, I guess, 12 or 13 or 14 summers, maybe even more, the real chus to spend some quality time, quiet time, observing Rav Twersky, listening to Rav Twersky, being influenced by Rav Twersky in so many ways. And I could say that one of the many special characteristics is everyone knows the way Rav Twersky conducts himself and the way he speaks. He chooses his words very carefully and tries to speak words only of emes. There's no other ulterior motives, there's no agendas, there's no politics. It's simply the emes of the Dvar Hashem, the emes of Torah Hashem HaKadosha, and feel so privileged and so appreciative that Rav Twersky made the trip out tonight to share with us. He'll be speaking about the topic of Emunah in modern turbulent times. Before you begin, I just also want to give a special welcome, such as chus for us again to have Rabbi Schreier here with us as well. It's chus to have you here. And again, we thank everybody for coming. Please give your attention to Rav Meir Twersky.
Thank you, Rami Kamenetsky. First, in the Chodesh HaRatzanya, I'm very grateful to Rami Kamenetsky for the opportunity to share some Divrei Torah this evening. The yeshiva's reputation, well-deserved reputation as a very special Mokum Torah, is known far and wide. The prodigious efforts of the Talmidim, the Rebbeim, the parent body, the Balabatim, and all, of course, under the very special inspired leadership of Rabbi Kamenetsky. Darish Rav Simloi, Sheishmeir Sushlosha Sui Mitzvos Nem Lola Moshe. Kodesh Baruch Hu communicated 613 Mitzvos to Moshe Rabbeinu. 365 lavin, kiminyan yemel sachama, 365 mitzvahs losasei, corresponding to the numbers of day in the solar year. Umasayim v'avon mushvana esei, kenegede vorev shalodim, 248 mitzvahs esei, positive commandments corresponding to the limbs of the body. Amar Rav Hanuna Maikra, what posuk hints at this special number of Taryag, Torah Tziva Lonu Moshe Marosha Kivas Yaakov. Torah the Gematria, Shis Meir V'chetzre having. The Gematria of Torah 611. The disparity of two is accounted for on Nofi V'loyil L'chad Nipi HaGvur Shmanum. The Rambam and most Rishonim, based on this Gemara, say that Onochi is to be counted within the Minyan Taryag. And in fact, if you take a look at the next source that you have here on the page, so the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot, in the first of the Mitzvot essay, cites this Gemara as his proof that Onochi should be included in the Minyan Taryag. In terms of the precise definition of the Mitzvah, that there is a very important machlokas in the Rishonim. Let's begin by familiarizing ourselves with the Rambam's presentation of the mitzvah. So we're looking at the third source here, in Parak Aleph of Yisodei HaTorah. Rambam writes that Yisodei is V'omad HaChokhmos. The foundation of all foundations and the pillar of all wisdom, of all branches of wisdom, Leida Sheyeshon Mosui Rishon. Shon is not doesn't have a spatial connotation. The Kesef Mishnah points out it's an Arabic idiom meaning that there is. Sheyesha Motzei Rishon, that there is a eternal being, v'hu mamtzi kol nimtza, and he gives existence to everything that exists. V'chol hanimtza mishamayim v'oretz u'masha beinehem. Lo nimtzu elame amitas himotzo. Everything else exists from and through HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence. Im yala al adas shehu eino motzo. If one would conjure up the notion, Rachmanu Letzlan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't exist, Ein Dabar Achi Yachal Lehim Achsos. Nothing else would exist, because our existence is not our own. Conversely, in Yala Aladash, Ein Kohan In Tzom Yilavadu Mitzuyim, if one would conjure up the thought that everything else didn't exist, Hu Levadu Yiyam Otzai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his existence would be unaffected by that. V'lo yibotel hu l'bitula. Shekol hanimtzom tzrikim lo. Everything that exists depends upon him. V'hu baruch hu, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu eino tzorach lohem v'lo le'efod behem. Neither collectively nor individually does HaKadosh Baruch Hu depend upon anything or anyone. L'fichach eina mitasa ka'amitas echod mehem. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence is sui generis, it's unique. We can't think, and we shouldn't think of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's existence in the same terms, in the same categories that we think of our own finite, dependent existence. Husha HaNavi Omer, after Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, V'Hashem Elokim, Emes. Hu levado ha-emes, ve'en la'acher emes kamitasa. That only HaKadosh Baruch Hu truly, genuinely, independently, intrinsically exists. V'husha HaTorah omeres ein od milvado, koma ein sham motzei emes milvado kamoso. There is nothing else other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu that inherently truly exists. HaMotzei hazeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do we know about him? Hu Elokei ha'olam. Adon kol ha'oretz, v'hu ha-manhil ha-galgol v'koch she'en l'keitz v'tachlis. Kadosh Baruch Hu is responsible, Kadosh Baruch Hu is sovereign over the world, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is the responsible for natural law and everything that happens in the wake of natural law. Yediyaz dov ozeh ha-loch ha-vov mitzvah zetzei. So that's just to summarize what elements the Rambam includes in the mitzvah of Anochi. So first of all, to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists. How is that in the Pasuk Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that the shame Yudkei Vodkei is derived from the root of Havaya. Havaya means existence. So the name Yudkei Vodkei has at least two implications. Number one, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists intrinsically, not dependent upon or by on any external source. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is existence, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is existence in the sense that he's the source of everything else that exists. All that is compressed into the four letters of Yudkei Vodkei. Elokecha, your God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sovereign over the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for everything that exists in the world. Again, the equivalent in modern terms of what the Rambam describes about the movement of the Galgal, of the sphere, is the whole aggregate of physical laws and the physical processes that we know within the universe. Okay, so that's the Rambam's definition. To highlight what's so remarkable about the Rambam's presentation of Anochi, let's look at how some of the other Rishonim present this mitzvah. So if you take a look, the source right afterwards, from the Sefer HaChinuch, so the Sefer HaChinuch writes, L'hamin sheyesh la'olam eloka echad shehimtzi kol nimtza. Again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives existence to everything that exists. Umikocho v'chetzo hoyo kol mashehu. And it's from his potency, and then he voluntarily brought into existence everything that is. V'shehoyo v'sheyiyah la'adayad, and that ever was or ever will be. V'chihu hotzionu mimitzrayim v'nasa mono esatav. And he took us out of Mitzrayim, and he gave us the Torah. Similarly, the Smag, one of the Balei HaTosfos, who also compiled a list of the Tariq mitzvahs. The Smag was an itinerant preacher. He used to go around to communities, darshaning, trying to exhort people to deeper and better shmiras ha-mitzvahs. So the Smag writes in mitzvahs essay or mitzvah rishona, mitzvahs essay lahamin, to believe ki oso shenosa monu es ha-Torah b'har Sinai ayodei Moshe Rabbeinu. Hu Hashem Elokeinu shehotzianu mimitzrayim, to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who gave us the Torah, He is the one and the same who was responsible for everything that happened in the course of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And finally, we take a look on the top of the second side. The Ramban in his commentary on that Torah says, "Yerosh Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Habibu Hazeh Mitzvus Esei." This, the first of that Torah says, constitutes a Mitzvus Esei. Omer Anochi Hashem Yoreh V'Yitzava Oso Makadosh Baruch Hu commands us, literally them, "Sheyedu V'Yaminu Ki Yesh Hashem Hu Elokim Lahem Klomer Hoveh Kadmo." Again, Makadosh Baruch Hu exists eternally. Me'ito hoya hakol b'cheset v'yecholus. Everything came from him because he willed it, because of his omnipotence. V'hu Elokim lahem, and he's sovereign over the world. Again, all this is compressed into the words Hashem Elokecha. Again, Hashem implying existence, and Elokim means power. Lovin says, "Yesh le'el yodi," that I have the strength. And in Shira Sayyam, "Micha mocha ba'elim Hashem." So the shorish of el, again, it sometimes uses lashem kol. Similarly, Elohim sometimes uses lashem kol. It means potency. It means force. So all of this, which Ramban has told us so far, is compressed into Anochi Hashem Elokecha, shechayavim la'avod oso. And we're obligated to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to worship Him. V'amar Hashem hotzeisicha me'eretz Mitzrayim, ki hotzeosam misham Torah al ha-metzius v'al ha-cheifetz. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, taking us out of Mitzrayim, established, it proved for us His existence, and that He rules the world as He wills. Okay. So what are all the Ezri Shonan's presentation of Anochi Hashem Elokecha highlights something very remarkable within the Rambam's presentation, and that is that the Rambam seems to have forgotten about the rest of the Pasuk. The Rambam took Anochi Hashem Elokecha and he stopped it. The mitzvah's essay Leda doesn't include Yetzias Mitzrayim. It doesn't include Matan Torah. The Rambam includes in his definition of Anochi, Yediyah Zav Hazeh Mitzvahs Esei, only what's compressed into the three words of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The enemy Shonen, what would seem to us to be naturally, take their cue from the entire Pasuk. The Pasuk says not only Anochi Hashem Elokecha, but it says, Asher Tisichem Eretz Mitzrayim. So if the Gemara tells us that Anochi is a mitzvah, so it's a mitzvah not only to know what's compressed into Anochi Hashem Elokecha, but equally to know what's stated in the balance of the Pasuk. Why doesn't that appear in the Rambam's definition of the mitzvah? So to answer this question, we need to establish two points. Point number one, and here I apologize, a little bit of Perush Bal Peh, this source is not in front of you. The Shari Kedusha, is written by Chaim Vital, the famous disciple of the Arizal, through whom most of the Torahs of the Arizal are known to us. So Chaim Vital writes in the beginning of his Sefer Shari Kedusha, just to dispel any misunderstandings, this is not Magikias, this is a much quoted Perek from Shari Kedusha. If you'll take a look, for instance, in the Chafetz Chaim Takdama, to Chafetz Chaim, he references this idea of the Chaim Vital. He says that there's something remarkable and seemingly anomalous in the Torah. You find Ma'amor Chazal, such as Kol HaKoes Kilo Over Avaduzam. Kol HaMagbiya Libo Ki'ilu, or maybe the Gir says, without Ki'ilu, Kofa V'Ikra. One who gets angry, it's as if he's engaging in idolatry. A person who feels, experiences haughtiness, it's as if, or maybe it actually is, kfirah, heresy. Kahena v'kahena, about different midos. And yet, when you look at the minyan mitzvahs, they're conspicuously absent. There is no mitzvah losa, say, prohibiting anger. And according to the Rambam, according to most monei ha-mitzvahs, there's no mitzvah losa, say, against gaiva either. So on the one hand, it's tantamount to kfirah. In the case of kaas, it's ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. And yet on the other hand, it doesn't seem to rank to make it into the minyan mitzvahs. So the Chaim Vital explains briefly, very briefly, to sort of sketch it in the Kabbalistic categories that he provides, and then we'll sort of uproot it into a context that's more familiar and more within our comfort zone. He says that there are two souls. There's a lower soul, and there's a nefesh elyona. The lower soul is what sort of animates our bodies, our physical existence, and the higher soul, the nefesh elyona, is the nefesh hasichlis, is the intellectual soul. Says the Chaim Vital, midos are rooted in the nefesh hashvala, in that lower soul. Taryag mitzvot are rooted, address the nefesh ha'elyona ha'sechlis. And then Chaim Vital says something absolutely remarkable, and if you can get your hands on it, you have to see the words for yourself. You have to see that I'm not embellishing kihuzeh. But first, a mashal to introduce. Imagine someone is looking at a course listing in medical school. And he sees that they don't teach basic biology. They don't teach basic chemistry. So what does he take away from that? So apparently, biology, chemistry, is not really too pertinent for a career in medicine. V'haraya, look at the course listings. In medical school, there's no bio 101, there's no chemistry 101. In reality, what obviously is the correct inference? That biology and chemistry are so fundamental and so elementary that they're prerequisites. That a person can't even think of entering medical school unless he's already achieved a certain level of knowledge and mastery in terms of biology and chemistry. Says Reb Chaim Vital, the same is true in terms of the relationship of midos to mitzvos haTorah. The reason midos are not included in the minyan taryag is because they're the prerequisites. The reason there is no Isser Kaas, the reason there is no Isser Gaiva, is because that refinement, a certain measure, a certain modicum of that refinement of character is necessary to be able to even relate to the mitzvah. And then he makes an absolutely remarkable statement. Listen to this, Rav Osai. Absolutely remarkable. He says, and that's why deficiencies in midos are worse than any other. Because if you're going to have a crack in the building, you'd rather have a crack on the upper stories than a crack in the foundation. One of the many fundamental ideas to be extracted from the Chaim Vital is that the Minyan Taryag, the 613 mitzvahs, are not all-encompassing in the sense of exhaustively, comprehensively encompassing all our chiyuvim, all our obligations in this world. There's a certain formal definition, a certain formal circumscription of what's included in Minyan Taryag, and not only are there things that are important and obligatory, which are not reflected formally in the Minyan Taryag, according to the Chaim Vital, what's most important, what's most fundamental, is not reflected in the Minyan Taryag. This is an idea, in different ways, everyone agrees to. It's so, so important. Sometimes we walk around with a misconception of, if it doesn't say so, if you can't show it to me in the Minyan Taryag, so then it's not binding. It must be optional. And the Chaim Vital says, that's as reasonable as saying that if basic biology or basic chemistry is not taught in medical school, so obviously it's irrelevant to one's medical training. To give another example, and again, this is a harder example to flesh out, we're not going to try to do it, but just to illustrate the same yisod, it's so, so important, it's so, so fundamental. Taryag mitzvahs are not intended and are not all-encompassing in terms of our chiyuvim, in terms of belief, in terms of behavior. If you'll take a look, the Migdal Oz, a very enigmatic and cryptic commentary on the Rambam's Yada Hazaka, so in Perek Beis, Hilchos Deos Halacha Gimel, the second source you have on page 2 in front of you. So the Migdal Oz comments again, the Rambam is listing kas and gaiva, anger and arrogance, haughtiness as exceptions to the rule of the golden mean. And the Rambam says that yesh zeil she'osu la'odem lahanig lahem b'mida abeinanis, and the first exception he mentions is gaiva, and he quotes his nusach, his gears of the Gemara in Sota, a kol magbir libo kato b'ika, and the Migdal Oz is also bothered by the fact, so where is it in Minyan HaMitzvot? It's so basic, it's so fundamental, where is it in Minyan HaMitzvot? So he also suggests, and again, we're not so interested in the particulars of his definition, of his suggestion, we're more interested in the corroboration that there's a formal aspect to what was included in Minyan Taryag. And once we recognize that, we realize that it's not at all the case that Minyan Taryag is all-encompassing in terms of our chiyuvim. The Tema al-Ramzal, the second line, first of all, he cites the fact that the smag does have a love for the gaiva in the Minyan HaMitzvot. And then he says in line 2, the Tema al Ravenu Moshe Zal, and the Rambam here is very perplexing, Shalom Na'o, why doesn't he include it? Va'ani Roa Shehizkiro Kan Be'isr, he takir mentions that we're prohibited from having that feeling of arrogance of haughtiness, the in lokololo the chesman alavan, and if the Rambam didn't include it in his 365 mitzvahs losa, say ani omer hatam lefisha hadavim mosul alev umi yodeya umi makir bo ela hashem yisala. But since it's something that can't be measured, it's something which is purely an inward state, a person can carry himself as though he felt humble and not necessarily be that way. So therefore, formally, such prohibitions are not enumerated, they're not included in the 365 mitzvot laos aseh. The last line of this source, Haladin haboyin b'cheshbon heim hanikorin la'olam u'bezin yecholim lahartir aleihem. That the 365 mitzvot laos aseh are ones that are discernible, that are outwardly recognizable. Again, the same point is a formal aspect to what's included in the Minyan Tayag. Perhaps the most remarkable expression of that is, take a look at Avosai, just if you review for a minute, the Rambam Yud Gemel Yikra, right? We all say it every morning after Tzvila Shachris, the Rambam Yud Gemel Yikra, Mitzias Hashem, right? The existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yichud Hashem, the oneness, the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the incorporeality, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not physical, and anything which is true of physicality is not true of Him. Number four, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's eternity. Number five, that we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu directly, we worship only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number six, that there is Nevuah. Number seven, the uniqueness of Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu. The eighth, Torah and HaShemayim. The ninth, the eternity and the immutability of Torah. Torah is eternal, it doesn't change. The tenth, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yediyah, omniscience. And number 11, Socha V'onesh, reward and punishment. Number 12, Mashiach, Yemotza Mashiach. And number 13, Tchias HaMeisim, physical bodily resurrection. The Rambam writes, as you all know in the Hakdamah to Perek Chelek, that this defines Jewish faith. If a person doesn't subscribe to these 13 principles of faith, he doesn't have emunah, with the eternal consequences associated with that. So you would think that Yud Gimel Yikarim, if anything, is going to be accommodated in Minyan HaMitzvot. So if we open up the Rambam's list of the Tariq Mitzvot, without difficulty, we should be able to find all of the Yud Gimel Yikarim. So since we have a 10 o'clock deadline, we're not going to go through all 365 mitzvot, but I invite you to. You're not going to find them. You will not find all the Yud Gimel Yikarim. You won't find the majority of the Yud Gimel Yikarim. Which ones will you find in Minyan HaMitzvot? You will find the first of the Yud Gimel Yikarim is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Numbers 2, 3, and 4 are all rolled into Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, because the Rambam explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's unity is only possible because He's not physical. Number 4 is included with Anochi. Number 5 is the Yisrei Avodah Zarah. Maybe, number 6 is the Mitzvah Esther of Elos Tishmo'on, to listen to a Navi, to obey the words, the instruction of Nevi'im. After that, nothing. Torah min HaShamayim is not in the Minyan HaMitzvot. Yemot HaMashiach is not in the Minyan HaMitzvot. Socha V'onesh is not a mitzvah in the Minyan HaMitzvot. There's nothing more fundamental, there's nothing more defining, there's nothing more mandatory in terms of belief, and they're not in Minyan HaMitzvot. Why? Again, apparently there's a certain formal definition of what was intended to be classified as a mitzvah, and it was never ever intended, as the Chaim Vital told us. And as everyone concurs, it was never ever the case that Minyan Taryag was represented as all-encompassing. So now, Tachlis. So what is that formal definition for the Rambam? Why is it that the first four Ikorim find their way into Minyan HaMitzvot, and from Nevuas Moshe Rabbeinu, from number 7 and on, don't? So let's look, if you go back again to the sources on page 1. So let's notice that there is another point of contrast between the Rambam's presentation of the Mitzvah of Anochi as opposed to that of the other Rishon, the Chinuch, the Smag, the Ramban. The Rambam writes, Yisod HaYisod Amar HaChokmos Leida. Rambam's interested in knowledge, right? Leida. The Rambam summarizes, he concludes in Halacha Vav, Yediyah Zavazeh. Knowledge. The other Rishonim, the Sefer HaChinuch, talks about Lahamin. The Smag, Lahamin. The Ramban mentions both. So the other point of contrast is the Rambam is focused on Yediyah, the other Rishonim on Emunah. And what the Rambam means by Yediyah in this context, it doesn't always mean it, but it means it in this context, is a Yediyah that lends itself to logical proof, logical demonstration. The Rambam's formal understanding of mitzvot aseh is that there has to be an asiyah. There's something you do either with the evarim, with one's limbs, what we would call an action, or there has to be an asiyah in terms of even cognitively, there's a logical proof that a person walks through. There's a logical demonstration that a person arrives at, that he engages in. But mitzvot, which are mitzvot of emunah, Torah min ha-shamayim, doesn't lend itself to the formal logical proof. It's as true, it's 1,000% true. But it doesn't lend itself to the same formal type of logical production as mitzias Hashem, in the Rambam's opinion. Those chiyuvim, again, the truth is 1,000%, and the basis for it is overwhelming, but it doesn't lend itself to formal logical proof. There isn't a, all men are mortal, Aristotle is a man, therefore Aristotle is mortal. It doesn't lend itself to that type of logical deduction. There is no asiya, even cognitively. There is no asiya. And hence, formally, it's not a mitzvah. Oh, coming back to our original question, why did the Rambam forget about the rest of the pasuk? When the Rambam tells us what elements are included in the mitzvah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, he, in quotation, forgets about the balance of the pasuk, Hashem Tzitzicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Oh, so we understand. The Rambam says, of course you have to know it. Of course it's fundamental. But formally, in terms of what my, Rabbeinu Moshe Ben Maimon's understanding of the formal definition of what's classified as a mitzvah essay, it's only a yediyah which lends itself to logical, again, logical in a formal sense, not in the colloquial sense, right? Logical in the formal sense of yediyah. Historical ideas don't lend themselves in a formal sense, again, formal as in all men are mortal, etc., to that type of idea. They lend themselves to a different type of understanding and conviction. But the formal definition of mitzvah hasei focuses on, again, the logical idea. Okay. Whereas, take a look again, let's reread for a moment on the top of the second page of the Ramban. Ramban says, V'omar, the last word in the second line, Asher hotzeitzicha me'eretz Mitzrayim, ki hotzeotza misham Torah al ha-metziyot v'al ha-cheset. According to the Ramban, the Torah is not so interested in the logical deduction. The Torah is more interested in the knowledge which is an outgrowth of history. The knowledge which we attain, which we arrive at by having witnessed and by having transmitted from generation to generation the reflections of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So for the Rambam, Leida is underscoring the logical knowledge, and only that is formally part of the mitzvah essay. The rest is important, is binding, is mandatory, is absolutely true, but not formally a mitzvah. And the Torah also is stressing, again, the formal logical knowledge. For the other Rishonim, the Torah is stressing the knowledge which history affords us, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu's involvement in the world affords us. The Rambam by no means belittles this. He writes in one place in the Mora, he says that if we didn't have tradition to guide our reasoning, he says, maybe one or two people in every generation would figure things out. Not everyone's an Avraham Avinu. So the Rambam isn't denying the importance, the authenticity of the knowledge from history, but he thinks the Torah also wants that our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be grounded, should be anchored in Yediyah. Let's step back for a minute, Rav Gosai, and reflect. Two sources of knowledge: logical knowledge, historical knowledge. Both of which are a source of our emunah v'Hashem, of our yediyas Hashem. I don't know when there was last an age when people were so blessed in terms of these sources of knowledge available to them. I don't know how far back, Libi Omeli, we're talking about millennia, how far back one has to go to find an age which on one level was more conducive to Emunah. Let's explain what that means. Modern science, going back to, let's say, back to Newton, for instance, understood the world to be a closed and static place. The world functioned, modern science discovered rules of nature. Everything was static in terms of their understanding and conception of the world. And for argument's sake, the world, as Aristotle thought, might have always been there, because it just seemed to be a closed, stable, self-sufficient system. So modern science no longer believes that. Modern science now believes that there was a Big Bang, that there was a beginning, and other than the most devout apikorsum, everyone recognizes that there was a beginning, and if there was a beginning of time, there's a HaKadosh Baruch Hu behind that. You have to be gor afruma apikoros not to draw that conclusion. There are such afruma apikorsum. The Beis HaLevi writes in one place, says everyone has faith. Apikorsum has faith in apikorsus. And we have faith in the Torah, but it's not the case that apikorsum don't have faith. Modern science today believes in a beginning of time, and that's reinforced by the fact that the universe isn't closed and static. It's expanding, not oscillating. It's not like an accordion going in and out. It's expanding. It can't expand forever, which means that it began in time. It's only been around so long. There had to have been a beginning. There had to have been a gracious Bar Elokim. Once upon a time, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu through history, we needed exclusively to refer back to Nisei Mitzrayim. Today, you go online, you book a ticket to Eretz Yisrael, and you land on the tarmac at the Lourdes Airport, and you're overwhelmed that you're walking in the middle of an ongoing, unfolding nes, which defies natural understanding. You go around in Eretz Yisrael, and you see, as the Rav commented, you see the fulfillment of the Nevuah in Yechezkel. Yechezkel says that when Klal Yisrael will be exiled from Eretz Yisrael, so the land will remain barren. No one else is going to be able to cultivate the land. The Rav said in a drasha once, I heard the taste, that you know the 19th century was the century of colonialism. You had the colonial empires. Right? England was a major colonial power. So they developed the colonies. There was one place in the world they couldn't develop. The same strategies, the same tactics that worked all over the globe, it didn't work in Eretz Yisrael. Nothing. Eretz Yisrael was a wasteland. It began to change in 1948. So I don't know when the last time was that there was an age that was so conducive, whether one's looking again for the logical or in its place scientific knowledge that the Rambam told us about, or whether one's looking for the historical, personal, experiential knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know when there was a time that was more conducive to Emunah than to today. And yet, HaKush Meyid, but things are not so partial. Things are not so simple. So how is that? How do we understand that? So perhaps the framework for that, for thinking about that, is provided by a remarkable comment of Yaakov Kamenetsky. Yaakov Kamenetsky in his Sefer Emes LeYaakov, beginning of Parshas Va'era, commenting on the Chatumim, he says, you study Chumash, it's quite clear there's magic, there's witchcraft. Look in Chazal, the Shedim are all over the place. So that's what Yaakov, what happened to them? Where are they? What happened to all the all the magic? What happened to all the witchcraft? Where did all the shaving go? Right? Chazal say that once. Anyway, what happened to them all? So Yaakov says something remarkable. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Tach Gozva Chochmaso, that everything should depend upon Bechira Chavshis. A person should always be able to find an excuse, an avenue, an option to opt out. To opt out of Torah, to opt out of Emunah. No matter how compelling the basis for Emunah is, Ritzon Hashem is that a human being has to have Bechira Chavshis. Says of Yaakov, when we live at the time of Nevuah, when you have the Nevi'im who could and did perform Otos U'Mosim, so what was the counter weight to that? What happened to one's Bechira? You go see Elisha, you see what Elisha can do. You see Tchiyas HaMeisim, you go see what Eliyahu HaNavi can do. How does that leave room for Bechira? Says Rabbi Yaakov, if you live when Aaron HaKohen can throw the stick down and it turns into a nachash, for there to be Bechira, there has to be Chatumim who through Kishuv can do the same. Absent Nevuah, when there's no longer Nevuah, says Rabbi Yaakov, you don't need the Kishuv anymore. What happened to the Kishuv? The Kishuv left the world when the Nevuah left the world. It was no longer needed as the counterweight, as the countervailing force. So what are the countervailing forces? So what Rabbi Yaakov gives us a way to think about the question. Again, the basis for Emunah today is stronger and more compelling than it's ever been. And yet, HaKush Meyid, that it's not so simple. So I'd like to share with you two answers, not competing answers, complementary answers, and by no means Is there any information that these are the only two answers? We've never lived in a time that was so conducive to Emunah v'Hashem, but we've also never lived in a time that the world around us was so numbing and so conducive to going through life without thinking. Whether it's the affluence and the materialism, or whether it's the technology, it's hard to have time to think. If I'm not texting, I'm checking my email. If I'm not that, then, you know, excuse my amaretus, I'm not sure of a whole range of options on the smartphone. All of that has a numbing effect. There's so much. And Mesil Tishon says it's an endemic nisayon. Gashmius is an endemic nisayon, but the more Gashmius there is, the more affluent life is, the more affluent the society is, the more of a nisayon it is. And the technology, once upon a time, a person was out of touch. It was only so long that the phone cord extended, and if the phone cord didn't reach there, so a person was out of touch. Once upon a time, when you walked down the street, so you couldn't be on the phone, so you had to think a little bit. Today, the countervailing force to just how compelling, again, whether it's the implications of modern science, or whether it's the implications of the miraculous, ongoing existence of Medinat Yisrael, the countervailing force is that we're numbed into not thinking. The Rambam writes, you have it here on your source sheet, that the Tzelem Elokim of a person is his intellectual capacity. When the Torah tells us we've created the Tzelem Elokim, it's a capacity, it's an endowment that has to be realized, that has to be activated. It's a capacity to think, to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But as Chazal say, Chazal comment on why it is that the Atachon Antonu in the Shmoneh Esrei Motzei Shabbos is integrated into the Bracha of Atachone. So Chazal say, in Ein Deya, Havdala Minayim. The distinctions, discernment, if there's no knowledge, I'm not going to know the difference between Kodesh and Chol. I'm not going to know the difference between Shabbat and Sheshet Yimei HaMaaseh. In Ein Deya, if there's no knowledge, if there's no thinking, Havdala Minayim. It doesn't matter how much there is to understand. It doesn't matter how compelling, how suggestive the world around us is. In Ein Deya, Havdala Minayim. One modern-day counterpart or analog to the chatumim, to the kishus of earlier days. Another one. Those of us who live in the Western world, so we have deeply ingrained within us democratic values. The democratic definition of freedom, of self-autonomy. And implicit, perhaps explicit, in those democratic notions and ideals is no one tells me what's right. Or what's wrong. No, that's my inalienable right. Self-autonomy, self-expression are the key words, the operative defining categories. The Rambam writes, the Rav used to highlight this, if you'll take a look at the next to last source that you have here in the pages, in Hilchos Kriyas Shema, this is the Rambam's elaboration of the Mishnah at the beginning of the second paragraph in Maseches Brachos as to why we begin Kriyas Shema with the parasha of Shema, because we're not saying the three parashiyos in the order they appear in the Torah. So the Rambam says, because the first parasha, again, Chazal say the first parasha is Kabbalas Ol Machu Shamayim. How does the Rambam translate it? It has the mitzvahs of Yichud Hashem, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the mitzvah of Aras Hashem Vahatas Hashem Elokecha, and the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, or the Shinantam Levanecha. Says the Rambam, Mitnei Sheyesh Ba Yichud Hashem Ahavosu V'Talmudo. So apparently Talmud Torah is part of Kabbalas Ol Machu Shamayim. How so? So says the Rav in a famous drasha that I'm sure many of you are familiar with, because Talmud Torah means that a person surrenders his everyday mercantile logic and values and surrenders that to the logic of the Torah and the values and the morals of the Torah. A lot of us are ma'aminim, but the countervailing force today that needs to be recognized, because we need to recognize it in order to know what has to be overcome and where we need to strengthen ourselves, instead of talking about Kabbalas Ol Machu Shamayim, as a dear friend of mine likes to point out, we talk about self-expression. And because of that, if the mitzvah doesn't resonate, so to our democratic mindset, what's this? No, self-autonomy, self-expression. Rashi says in Rosh Hashanah, of course, mitzvahs are given for our benefit. The Tov Lanu Kol Hayom L'Chayotenu K'Hayom Hazeh, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's motive. But what is our mindset supposed to be? The last source you have in front of you, La'ol Al Tzavareihem Nitnu. Our mindset is that it's an ol. It's something to which one surrenders. It's true that ultimately, if a person really knows and really understands and really appreciates it, it's self-expression, but a person doesn't measure it by that. It's not about self-autonomy, and it's not about whether or not I'm in a position to appreciate that Ein Lecha Ben Chorin Ela Ha'Oseg BaTorah, self-expression. It's surrounding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's never been an age so conducive to Emunah VaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Emunah BaTorah, seeing the fulfillment of Nevuah. But there has to be Bechira. There always has to be Bechira. There has to be a challenge, because if one only thinks, everything is so compelling, it has to be a challenge to think. Otherwise, there's no Bechira. And even when one thinks and recognizes Yisoda, Yisodas, Va'amar, Afatus, Leida, She'eshon, Motzi, Rishon, there has to be a challenge to accept the natural consequence and implication of that. There's a mindset that resists surrendering to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore resists all of that. The Ramban quotes a Mechilta that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to give the Torah, so Klal Yisrael Kaviyachol, the Mechilta gives a mashal, a melech shenichnas l'medina, a king comes to a country, and the people say, Gzor aleinu gzeiros, give us a code of law, give us civil law. And the melech says, first you have to accept me as king, and then I can legislate for you. First is Anochi Hashem Elokecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you subscribe to that, You subscribe to that with all its implications. You overcome, again, the challenge which has to be there. There has to be a challenge, otherwise there's no Bechira Chavshit. And Onin Al Hain Hain, and when we hear that Saras HaDibros, we think to ourselves that yes, we affirm it, and we affirm it with all its consequences, recognizing again just how compelling it is. So halavai, we should be zocheh to a kavolas haton.